This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Yeah, after another win, 27-20, this is the Scoreboard Show. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. We want to hear from you because it is late.
It's early.
It's early. We need people to help us keep us awake tonight. Jags, 4-1 since the bye. Winners at 3 in a row. And that's what good teams do, playoff teams. They hit their stride in November and December. Now, I'm not saying the Jaguars are going to the playoffs this year.
They're mathematically still in it.
But they're setting that precedent of good teams win in November and December. And that's what Gus Bradley's doing with this team right now.
Indeed. Coming up with all the big wins. And you figure right now, it's only – they're one of probably 10, 11 teams that since November the 3rd that have at least three or more wins in the league. I mean, it's only – you can figure out 32 teams – and you figure it's only a third of those teams that have actually been able to have three or more wins since November the 3rd, and the Jaguars are one of those teams.
Don't they own the AFC's longest winning streak right now, current winning streak at three games?
Right now,
you can make the case they're the best team in the AFC right now.
It's a legitimate AFC South, I would say, not the AFC.
Well,
because you got the
You get a little excited when you haven't seen wins in a while, and then you win four
out of five. It is exciting.
Five.
Yeah, it's real exciting, man, especially the way the team is playing. You know, a team like the Texans, you can sense in the beginning of that game, they didn't have a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. They've already folded in the tent, you know. But this team, the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, what he's interpreting to the team to play, regardless of what's going on, not about the wins, but about the process. You know, you go out there and you do the thing, do those type of things, and these guys are coming up with good wins.
Yeah, and that's the one thing a lot of people didn't mention. The second time they're playing the Texans, so they've seen Gus Bradley. They've seen his offense. They've seen his defense one time through. How was he going to handle as a first-time coach when teams are coming around again to see him for the second time? And
yeah.
I think the Jaguars came out smoking today.
They did the same
thing. The Texans just look flat no matter what they did. The Jaguars seemed to dominate them early on. Now, later in the game, we saw those typical Jags come back of where you struggle to score points, you struggle to get first downs, and let the Texans back into a game that they probably shouldn't have been back in, made it a little dicey there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But again, finishing in the fourth quarter, learning how to win games.
You got to go ahead and give the Texans a little bit of give them a coke after the game because they gave you 177 yards also in penalties. I mean, they did as much as they could to give up the game also. Not taking anything away from the Jags and their effort, but you have to say that the Texans did not perform well at all.
And, you know, you're talking about MVPs of the Jags. I think the real MVP was DJ Swearinger. He was the Jags MVP.
Thank you. He gave him about 100 yards.
He gave him penalties, first downs. He gave up big plays. I mean, he was the MVP.
What a nincompoop.
355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Rich in Orlando. Rich, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, guys.
What's
hey,
up,
Rich?
Man?
Hey, so I was just thinking, is it too early to start talking about Gus Bradley for Coach of the Year and Puz Lesney and Scobie for the Pro Bowl?
Nothing against Coach Gus Bradley. I mean, he's doing a great job, especially after the bye. But, I mean, Andy Reid, I think, hands down. You know, he took a two-and-whatever team last year, and they're going to be in the playoffs and probably make a deep run in the playoffs. So I think no matter what Gus does from the end of the year, you got to give it to Andy Reid.
Yeah, and they haven't quite. I mean, you talk about their winning games, but they beat Cleveland. They beat, Houston twice. They haven't really done really major work.
They would have gone in and beaten Denver, and they would have gone and beaten
Seattle.
Just
one of those teams. Yeah, just one of those big-time teams, I think, legitimately. You know, at this point in the season, it's far gone for him to get Coach of the Year.
All right, thanks for the call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Saqib. Let's take him a little early today because I know he's hyped and probably wants to go to bed and rub it in.
He's not going to sleep tonight.
He wants to rub it
he's
in all
gonna
his
sleep
coworkers because he's been telling us that his coworkers
I'm not going to sleep all night long, baby. Hey, let me say this. The real thing is the crowd, your producer just told me it was like 64,000 or something. That's pretty good for a Thursday night game. I got to give it up to the Jaguars. We were loud. We were proud. And it was unbelievable. It was the loudest I have seen it in a long, long time, guys. I don't know if you guys can agree with me or that, but it was really loud.
Well, I'll tell you, and I got here at the
stadium. The defense did a great job, and I'm really, you know, they stepped up at the end. So good job, guys, and good job the Jaguars crowd. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I'll tell you, I got to the stadium about 10 minutes before kickoff, and it was rowdy out there. I'll tell you, it was real. It was rowdier than I've seen it in a long time. Now, maybe it's because, you know, people were out there drinking all day as opposed to just a couple hours in the morning for the 1 o'clock games. I don't know, but yeah, they seem fired up for this one.
Yeah, well, you know, you figure I was sitting up in the press box, and it was rattling. You figure it was, you could feel it. And again, just like Saqib said, it hadn't been that loud in quite a while. But at the same time, yeah, it had a lot to be loud about.
A lot to cheer about at home lately.
But, you know, then when you go in prime time, and the crowd and the team performs like this, guess what? They want to see you on prime time again. So I would look for next season to probably have not just all 1 o'clock games, but maybe one or two more of these prime time football
maybe
games.
Maybe a Monday night or in there.
Yeah. I mean, or the NFL, a Sunday night game or something.
Yeah, the
like
NFL's
that.
Always been talking about expanding those Thursday night games, so we'll have to see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Mike in Folston, Georgia. Mike, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. I'm really amped on the team, man. I'm glad they're winning. It's a positive trend. But the only disappointment that I had was that Marco didn't dance this game. I thought he was going to bust out some moves.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, I was actually dancing, though, when that sack got into the game. What was your
go-to dance move when you got a sack? Did you have a go-to, or you just did whatever come to mind?
I was telling Sam Kavaris, man, up there in the deal, my rookie year, you know, I was playing for the Dolphins, and I did similar to what Branch did. Got in there and had my dance. I came on the sideline. Joe Green was my defensive line coach. He was so pissed off at me. He said, go get another one. What you just done, that was nothing. You know, I was fortunate in my career to play for coaches that really understood what it was. I mean, Branch, you know, was a big time play, but guess what happened on that third down? They got the first down. Yeah. And to that meaning, you know, dancing, you know, after you get a sack, high five and keep it moving. You know, I was shut down after my first dance. So no more dancing for MC.
355.
Except for when I break dance at the parties.
Yeah, break dance all the time. I think if Jaguars keep winning, we're going to see you at halftime.
Yeah,
you might
have to go ahead and I might have to break out the old school nylon, you know, jogging suit and shit.
Man, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Taking your phone calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. More of this on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show brought to you by PRI Productions. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. Want to hear from you this early morning, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Heading back to the phones. Let's go to Evan, who was at the game tonight. Evan, how you doing, man?
I am doing really good, man. I've been going to all the home games the past 2 years, but me and my dad went tonight. It's his first game since Morton Anderson missed that kick in the second year, so it was nice for him to be there. But I got a two-parter for you. One's a question. I was trying to keep track.
Oh, man, we lost you, Evan. Your phone broke up. But, hey, when you get in a better area, give us a call back. We'll get that two-parter question out there for you. Let's go to Roy in St. Augustine, who was at the game, too. Roy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, real well. Man, I was at the game. I'm going to tell you, to me, the defensive players were a crowd. We were making a lot of noise. I've just about lost my voice, but it's all good. I just got home, but I'm still excited. I'm not going to sleep tonight, man.
You got to work tomorrow?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I got to be up at 5:30, but I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to celebrate this win.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the way to do it, man. Good call. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people are doing at this point. It's already 1 a.m. It's like, yeah, let's just stay up and deal with it. It's Friday.
Yeah,
you don't get any work done on Friday anyway.
Yeah, soak in the wings. You got 10 days. You know, no games on Sunday. So, at least not the Jaguars. So, you got a long time to really savor this deal.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to David. David was at the game, too. David, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all?
Doing good, David.
Well, I just want to say I'm going to tip the hat to Gus for staying true to the process. That was just one heck of a game. The crowd was wonderful. I've been a season ticket holder since 1996, and the atmosphere at the game tonight reminded me of Remember after we won with Denver and went to the playoffs way back in the 90s, and everybody went to the stadium at like 1 o'clock in the morning to welcome the team. It was just like that. It was just electric. It was just outstanding.
Gotta love the home crowd. I mean, the home crowd needed something to cheer, but I think every single one of them were waiting for something to cheer. And you see the Jags coming in on a winning streak, playing real well after the bye. It's like, this is finally the chance. We get to see that home victory we've been waiting over a year for.
Winning is special. It does a whole lot of things, not just for the football team, but for everybody.
Especially winning at home, especially winning in prime time in front of the national audience. And, you know, with all due respect to the national media, not giving them a lot of respect to the Jaguars.
You know, what about all the talk about the pick? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So now, all of us, no, you know, we win a few games and no more discussion about
what about the pick? What happens when you get, you know, win four
winning,
in the last
man.
Five,
you know, and then you know everyone gets used to that, and you know, and that's something that comes to be expected. And when you come to the stadium, and you know, you're not sitting on the fence like, oh, I don't know what we're gonna do this game.
Yeah, why am I gonna go to the game? We're probably gonna lose by 10 points or more. You don't get that anymore. Now it's like, yeah, we're just on a winning streak. And you know, there's probably a lot of people early in the year, it's like, oh, there's no way we're beating Buffalo. Now they're expected to win this game next week.
You figure, you look at like all the way down the schedule, you know, and the teams that are left, it's not unrealistic for them to run the table. You know, you got Buffalo, Tennessee, and an Indy team that just doesn't look the way they looked at the start of the season. So, I mean, you got to feel really enthusiastic.
And what's going to be really bad about that Indy game is by that point, Indy's probably going to have the division locked up, probably their whole playoff situation locked up. So they might not even be playing their starters. So Jaguars could get an easy win, but it wouldn't feel like the, you know, the victory that they wanted to go in there, beat Indy when Andrew Luck's playing, you know, when Reggie Wayne's playing.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get that. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Kevin.
I just thought the Jacksonville coaching staff did a great job again.
Loving the trick plays. And, gotta love them.
Yes. And the other thing is I thought the Texas team coaching staff, why in the world would you pull your quarterback in the middle of the game?
That's the second time they've done that this
year. I would not
want
to be back in Texas.
I'm saying that's actually the second time they've done it.
They were in Tennessee, and now they're in Texas. They may be out in L.A.
Hey, thanks for the call. But it is. I mean, that's the second time that that's happened, where Case Keenum wasn't playing a great game. Matt Schaub came in, and it got a little bit closer. And it proved to actually be the smarter coaching move, because look at the way Houston played when Schaub was in versus when Case Keenum was in. They almost pulled that one out when Schaub came in. So, yeah, I mean, that was a smart move.
I think they're playing for the pick.
They could be. They're,
you know, you figure
right
they need, obviously they need a quarterback.
And I think pulling Keenum was kind of the statement that, hey, we are picking a quarterback. We're probably taking Bridgewater with that number one overall pick.
AJ McCarron
probably be still around.
Man, I don't know why that would be. To me, his body of work is unquestioned amongst all these quarterbacks. None of them can hold it up, put their resume up to AJ McCarron. None of them.
And yeah, talking about plays, how about Chad Henne? Move over, RG3. Look out, Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. I'll take a seat to the dual threat Chad Henne running quarterback.
He's heard me talking about him in the pocket and not being able to move around and being so sackable. Today, he found the open space when he saw the opportunities. And I like the toughness that he played with. I mean, you figure you got to – I wasn't a big Henne fan to begin with.
Smart. He played smart because, you know, he knew when he had to slide not to get hit. And he knew when he was close to a first down to put your head down, try to get it.
Yeah, I was impressed, you know, with the way that he's going about it. And the unselfishness, man, you know, just across the whole team that you see that's being displayed. That's why they've been able to get these victories.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Jaguars aren't taking a quarterback in the first round this year.
Just depends on who's there.
Not because necessarily Chad Henne's playing well, but because I think of the guys going back to school, like Mariota going back to school, guys getting hurt, like the LSU quarterback, Georgia quarterback, they're all hurt. You might be able to get a good quality guy in the second, third round, so I don't see them taking.
Well, until they got to still
And if they keep winning games, they're going to be in the, you know, the late 10, late top 10 pick.
Well, you know, I think next year they're going to be looking to try to be a lot more competitive, you know, expect to be in the hunt to win the division. And in order to do that, it's going to require some more pieces. You know, they got to get some better guys up front on a consistent pass rush. They're playing some teams that are woeful, honestly, right now. But it's tough to win in the league. But honestly, they're playing teams that aren't battling to go to the playoffs legitimately. And, you know, it's a lot of no deep balls. They're having problems being able to get the deep passes. You know, we got to get Blackman or somebody to pass the ball too deep. So there's some pieces that are still needed.
It'll be an interesting second half of the season and then into the offseason. But 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking your calls after this break. We got Al, Beth, and Corey on the line, so hang on. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Quick break right back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And this injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. The only real big one, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Gus says he appears to be fine. You know, we saw him on the NFL Network, saw him doing a couple other press conferences. He says he's good to go and should be back next week. So good news. It looked a little bad when it happened, but good news. Maurice Jones-Drew looks like he'll be okay. I'm Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. We're taking your calls at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Al at the beaches. Al, how you doing?
Hello. Hey, Al.
What's up, man?
Oh, it's me?
As long as you're Al.
What's up, Al?
Yeah.
It's early, man. It's early.
That's been for many years. No, listen, I just want to comment. I've been a season ticket holder from day one, and you know, I love the Lions. I've been pissed like everybody else, but I never felt so good about being a season ticket holder as tonight. You know, I was at the game. The crowd was great. It's been over a year since we had a win at home, and it was great. It's just fantastic, you know. And I was so glad for Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, for his performance. Well, tonight, you know, how he's improving all along. And I really feel good about the team. You know, we put up with the good and the bad, and it's great. I love it.
My man, you sound like it feels really good.
Al had a good time tonight. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Beth in Arlington. Beth, what do you think of Al?
Hello.
Hey, what are you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to comment, you know, kudos to the players and the coaching staff. They did a good job tonight. There may be some, you know, the defense a little bit gave up a lot of yardage to Texans, but all in all, I think they did a great job. I really liked the one at the end zone where my section is. The trick play of Ace Sanders,
the Tideman.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and it's 3 weeks in a row you're seeing trick plays, and you got to love them opening up the offense. I mean, we talked about it early on in the year during this show. It's like, what do you got to lose? You know, throw out some of those trick plays. You figured those should have been Denard Robinson's plays. I think they were originally built for him, but if they don't have the trust for him, they're just going out there and throwing it to whoever does it, and everybody seems to be succeeding, whether it's Ace Sanders, Maurice Jones-Drew. Everybody's throwing touchdown passes.
It don't matter who does it.
You don't need a quarterback when you got your wide receivers and running backs throwing TDs.
As long as it works, that's for sure. And being very creative. And again, it puts a lot of pressure on opposing defenses as they prepare for the Jaguars. Now they got to spend time during the week on some plays that they may not see, you know, going through a whole bunch of hypothetical situations that, you know, just
is it
going to
be a
things.
Fake reverse? Is it going to be a real reverse? Is it going to be a reverse pass? You got extra all those time. Options now that teams are going to have to prepare for and look at. And even though the Jaguars haven't run some of them, they're still going to have to be thinking that in the back of their heads. Yeah. All right, what and trick play could this be?
And it forces the defense to play honest. And those are the things that allow you to get those big plays that they need to get to win football games.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Zach in Orange Park. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, I was at the game. Freaking, I've been a Jaguar fan since I was in grade school when they first came out to Jacksonville. And I have to say, I've gone to at least one home game ever since, every year, especially when I was in the Marines. And I got to say, this is probably the most energized game I've ever been to. I also want to comment on the defense. I can't say his last name. Middle linebacker, number 51.
Paz Lesney.
He's called Puzz.
I call him Polsky. But where I was sitting at midfield, he was making a lot of good kind of intuitive calls when it comes to reading the Texans offense, when it comes to a pass or a rush. And that's the kind of thing that I think we've been missing out on, is a decent defensive intuition and just reading it.
Yeah, I mean, quarterbacking on the defense, I think, is one of those most underrated skills that you see in the NFL. Everybody wants to see the big hits, the big plays, and guys making plays. But to be able to quarterback a defense and make calls and make adjustments live on the fly, I think that's what Paul's doing lately, and they're succeeding.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a guy like that, a headsy inside linebacker that can keep everyone where they're supposed to be, especially when you got so many young players, you know, and so many new guys. But at this point in the season, I think the newness and the youth has been worn off the way that they're playing and winning football games.
They're old surly veterans in there. Man. You know, some game experience, Cyprian, some tough game experience.
Yeah, Gratz, Cyprian. I mean, these guys, man, at this point during the season, Ace Sanders, they've played enough football at this point in time that, you know, this rookie season is pretty much over. They've figured it out.
Because you've gotten past that rookie wall of you only play, you know, 11, maybe 12 games, you know, in the NCAAs, and then you come in and you're playing a 16-game season here. Mm-hmm. They're past that point now.
And experience. You figure the mark of a really good team is not always, you know, how often they win, how they handle the winning, but it's the adversity. You figure to go 0-8. I don't know how more adverse, unless you go 0-16, that you can say that the situation would be.
And you get blown out literally almost every week.
And to overcome that and to come and play with the enthusiasm that they're playing with, it says a whole lot about this team, the coach, and, you know, and the direction that they're going
in. Well, you saw it early on in the year. I mean, they'd be getting blown out in games, but they'd still be playing tough. They'd still be playing with heart. And now it's transitioning where they're playing tough and playing with heart, but it's transitioning into the wins now.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody's been waiting for.
Yes, sir.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Brandon on I don't know where you're from, Brandon.
Hey, what's up? I'm from Orange Park. I was at the game tonight. How y'all doing?
Good, man. What's up? OP?
Good. Like everybody else is saying, man, the place was energetic. I went to the NFL Total Access set after the game, was yelling and screaming. But I did want to say one thing I've noticed these past couple, 3 or 4 weeks. The Jags, they come out hot, man, and they score. They got a good game plan, and they score again. They're hot, and then the offense just kind of fizzles out, and it's happened. It's very noticeably happened the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I think it's because defense are adjusting to us. We do a really good job of game planning, and then the defense adjusts, and then I think our coaching staff, you know, Gus Bradley being a first-time head coach, have you kind of seen that? You know, maybe they might have some trouble adjusting. Is that something that they can work on in the future, or is that, you know, something else? The way the offense fizzled out like that.
I mean, I've been talking about it for weeks. It's, you know, they look great in the start, and then the offense just seems to disappear. Now, this week, they were a little bit better at spreading out the points that they scored. So, but again, it almost cost them not being able to get first downs. And I'm not even talking about scoring. It's moving the ball so that you change field position, so that, you know, you're not on the opposite end and they're only going 50 yards, maybe 60 yards for a score. You want to make a move 90, 80 yards for those scores. They're not even doing that when you go 3 and outs right away. And yeah, it might be some game planning, because it seems like every halftime the opposing team just comes right out and scores on us like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but you figure, you know, like today, converting on third down, you know, it wasn't real well. And that's something they haven't done well all season long, is being able to pick up the first downs. But at the same token, it's only a few offenses in this league that keep the momentum going the whole game. You talk about the Broncos, the New Orleans, Seattle. It's only a few offenses that don't really have those peaks and valleys, but sustained throughout the whole game. And the rest of the offenses in the league, they, you know, they sputter. That's just the reality.
It
peaks
seems
and valleys.
Like the Jags are a little more drastic, where they're going to score in their first drive, score in their second drive, and then go three quarters without scoring, and then come back in the fourth and win the game.
Win the game. Well, like I said, I think there's a few teams in the league that kind of do that.
They're not on three-game winning streaks,
yeah,
though.
Not at all.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're taking more of your phone calls after the break, so make sure you stick on the line. Guys like Jeff and Justin and Carlos will be getting to you after the break. Jags fans, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, to get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Coming right back on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. I think our boy Al, that we were talking to last segment, was hitting the Crown Royal Maple. He sounded like he was having a good time.
He feels good.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're taking your calls, going to Jeff in Mandarin. Jeff, how you doing, man?
How are y'all doing?
Hey, you doing good, man.
First of all, I just want to say, give me a round of whatever Al's having.
Al sounded like he was having a real good time tonight.
Yeah, he's ahead of us. I have this idea, and I want to know what you guys thought. I was at the game tonight, and I saw Ace Sanders pass. In this league of quarterbacks that can run the ball and they can throw the ball, explain to me why can't Ace Sanders be our quarterback of the future? I'll hang up and listen. You just tell me why. Thanks, guys.
Because Chad Henne is the new running quarterback to end all running quarterbacks.
33 yards
of
rushing.
You see the way he moved. You see he was juking guys. He was putting his head down, trying to run over guys. Now, I mean, you know, you got to have some. Honestly, running quarterbacks haven't won Super Bowls. And I'm talking about straight-up running quarterbacks. Now, the ones you're seeing now are the new hybrids that can actually stand in the pocket, make accurate throws, and pass the ball, and have the escapability. You know, guys like the Russell Wilson, guys like RG3. I don't know if Ace Sanders is going to be that guy that can actually stand in the pocket, throw accurate passes, you know, make reads, because he's never done it.
I mean, you know, and playing quarterback is more than just throwing a couple good balls. You got to manage the football game. You got to.
I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew threw a touchdown. You want him to be quarterback too?
Yeah, you have to identify the blitzes. You got to get everyone lined up. It's a lot of stuff that goes into being a quarterback that, you know, a lot of times people kind of don't recognize. You know, and that's the head part of it. You got to be a smart, witty guy.
I mean, look at Peyton Manning. The guy, you know, just lives, eats, breathes football, and he's the one calling most of the plays.
It requires a lot of time. You know, you got to know a lot of, you got to know what everybody does, you know, on the field for the most part as a quarterback, and it takes a special kind of person to do that.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to the West Coast. Let's go to Justin in Los Angeles. Justin, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Good. Yeah, I just, first of all, I want to say a big thanks to Al for giving me the courage to call in.
My man.
Because when I heard that, I was just like, I mean, come on, anybody can do it.
Exactly.
I mean, no, but I have a question for you guys. Like, a lot of people are talking about drafting next year, and of course, quarterback comes up. But what other, if they don't go quarterback, where do they go? What position would you say needs the most help?
You know, honestly, it depends where they draft, but if, you know, Clowney's there, they need a pass rusher. They could use some more offensive linemen, you know, stuff like that, I think. I think those are the biggest needs right now. Maybe another playmaking wide receiver, depending on
the... You don't know what the situation will be with Justin, so... Well, you know, the Jags have, what, 10, 11 picks. So, you know, a lot of people make a big deal about this first-round pick. But, you know, to be honest with you, the longevity and guys that end up lasting long and more durable in the league are in those later rounds. So it's not really so much to focus on just that one pick, but the 11 picks that the Jags will have and how they'll go about. They'll make 11 picks. You can set up a whole nother team.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at the teams right now, I'm looking at the schedule that have less wins than the Jags. You got Minnesota, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Washington, Houston. Houston, obviously, today, after that, they're going after a quarterback with that first overall pick. Washington, they're not going to take a quarterback. Tampa, they go either way. They got a young guy in Glennon. They could, you know, pass on him and go somebody else. Atlanta, they're definitely not taking a quarterback. Minnesota, they're probably taking a quarterback. So you're looking, there's at least three QBs off the board. And with guys like Mariota going back in, you know, you don't know who else is going back in. I don't think the Jaguars are going to stretch it and take a quarterback this year when, with these guys going back to school and other guys getting injured, you might have a good quality quarterback you can get in like the third round. Or next year, you know, if you struggle again without a starting quarterback, you might have a better draft next year.
Yeah, I mean, you figure. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so, because that's a good point, right? Like, Justin Blackmon and Jokel are both first-round picks, and then they're both injured or not playing right now, right?
Yeah. Right.
So... That's a good point. But so, do you guys think that? I mean, because that's a huge risk to try to not take a quarterback at all, right? So, do you think they have to pick somebody or pick somebody up in free agency next year?
Well, I'd have to just trust that, you know, Caldwell, they're going to evaluate all the players that are available, pick the best one that they think, you know, after evaluation first, whether it be a quarterback, defensive lineman, linebacker, wide receiver, whatever the case may be, that ranks the highest on their board when it comes time to pick. And, you know, and follow all the way through the suit, all the way through the draft.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to sit there and find out what their need is and, you know, what their wants are. And if they don't match up, you know, you could even see them pulling back a little bit. Maybe they go back and say, you know what, we're going after a guy like, what's his name from Georgia? Aaron Murray. You know, he's got the torn ACL. teams are going to stay away from him in the first round. So maybe the Jags figured, that's our guy. We always wanted him from the start. We really like him, but we know we can get him in the third round. So let's trade back, get a couple more draft picks, you know, stockpile, and then go after the pass rusher, go after an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, he's got a hot girlfriend, so. She's, like, really hot. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. And thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, man, out there in Silicon Valley, for more ways than one, calling us out there from L.A. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Go to Carlos in Orange Park. Carlos, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I'm just here to make a comment on how good the Jaguars did tonight. I'm proud of them. I'll be able to go to school tomorrow in my Jaguar shirt, all proud. Big shout out to the Amparo family, you know, came out to the game, tailgated, enjoyed it. It was good. I'm proud of the Jaguars tonight.
Yeah, you know what? Friday's staying up late on a Thursday night. Having to go to school or go to work tomorrow, it's a little bit easier after a win, isn't
it? Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, man, to go back to work. Yeah, to wake up in the morning.
You don't care that you're on 3 hours sleep, 2 hours sleep. It's we got to win.
You still got adrenaline. You're still like as if you're at the game.
And it's Friday. Nobody does anything on Friday anyway. Might as well just give. You know what? I know the mayor was trying to get everybody down here Thursday night and telling people, you know, businesses, let your guys off early Thursday. What he should have done is say, give everybody off Friday.
I know somebody that
everybody would come down.
That'll probably be off tomorrow, and that's Alfreda Johnson. That just came and congratulated her for her retirement over at Florida Blue.
Nice.
She won't be at work tomorrow. No. What's up, Alfreda?
Nice little shout out there. But that's what I mean. Like, you want people to come down to a Thursday night game, say, we will give you off on Friday. Businesses give everybody off on Friday. Yeah, and you don't got to worry about waking up early.
Hey, man,
you can be
week.
Like Al and hit, you know, the Crown Royal whiskey.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, we, you know, I declared, you know, last week, today was Jaguar Day. Don't go to work on Thursday. You might as well go ahead and just make it a 4-day weekend.
Yeah.
Why not?
You just had a 4-day weekend last weekend. You go through, you then got Christmas break coming up.
There we go, man.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to David in Middleburg. David, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, David?
Hey, y'all going to have to forgive me, man, because I don't have much voice left. So.
And I was actually going to say, you have a beautiful radio voice, man. It's that nice, deep, bassy voice, man. You sound like you can take my job.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's unbelievable what they're doing right now. I don't want to hear any of the people talking about we need to calm down or any of this stuff. I mean, what Bradley's doing with this talent, I mean, him and Caldwell are overcoming literally the worst GM in NFL history. And, you know, they're winning games with Pastore and Bradfield at tackle. I just wanted to say for everybody to think about, you know, what they're doing right now. You add Justin Blackmon, if he can get back and get his head right next year. You add Jokel. You add next year's draft class. You got the draft class from this year that's already looking like Caldwell's a genius with these guys that he's drafted. And then you get in some top line and some mid-range free agents next year. I don't think we're overhyping anything with this team. I mean, what they're doing right now, you know, he's got lemons and he's making lemonade for sure. I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't want to hear anybody say anything about us calming down because we were 0-8 a little while ago. So, I mean, I think everybody ought to be encouraged, get behind this team. It was crazy out there today. I don't know. I got to talk for my job. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk tomorrow, but I don't care.
You're taking tomorrow off anyway. It's Jaguar Day. Extended Jaguar Day.
You guys are doing a great job, man.
Tell them Jay Gray and Marco said you're allowed to have the day off tomorrow.
Yeah, just call them and tell them. And Jay will take care of your tab.
Hey, Marco, I wanted to ask you one more quick thing, because I know there's probably only about a 10% chance that this would ever be the case, but I'm not so sure, or at least maybe Chad Henne is not so sure, that he can't be the franchise quarterback. And I think we're going to draft a guy, but I was just wondering if you put a better team around him and you give him, you know, a season or something to play with the young guy coming in, sitting on the bench and watching, which is most of the time the best way to bring the guy in. I mean, I'm not so sure sometimes. I mean, he still does some boneheaded stuff and everything like that, but the throw to Mercedes and the throw to Cecil Shorts were perfect. I mean, the 12-yard pass on the sideline to Mike Brown, if Mike Brown had got his butt out to the sideline a little bit more, that was a perfect pass. And, I mean, he's got his flaws and his warts and everything, but, I mean, after what he did in Miami on that Monday night where he threw for, like, 450 yards going back and forth with Brady last year against the Texans, you know, I told my dad earlier tonight, I said, with Justin Blackmon on the field, a lot of times he does look like the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, but he may not be, but, You know, I mean, the guy is playing well, and you get a better team around him and groom that young guy coming in, I think it could be best-case scenario for everything.
Well, you know, he's definitely making it a lot easier going into this draft on who you want to decide to pick. You know, you may not, you know, have to get a guy in the first round, get a quarterback that you can spend a little bit more time to develop. The way things are going, you know, with the way Henny's playing, the way that they're calling the offense, they've limited some of the plays that he probably, you know, he just is not capable of doing. Because one, you know, today he scrambled okay, but he's really not really good in the pocket. And they do those short passes, you know, not just because of him, but also because of Pastor and Bradfield are at the tackle, and he's not good at evading the rush and things of that nature. He does still have some deficiencies. If he's going to be the, I don't see him being the franchise quarterback.
Know,
he just doesn't have all the enough of the tools. And here it is in his sixth season. You know, he's a mature quarterback. I think what you see is about what you're going to get, where if you get a young guy, you know, it's a lot more growth potential with that guy as opposed to what you see with Henny.
I think he's what they call the serviceable backup. He's a team. He's a guy that, you know what, who would love to have him right now? Green Bay. Because look what happens when Aaron Rodgers goes down. They don't have any serviceable backups, and they're basically out of the playoffs. You know, they still got an outside shot. But if they had a guy that could just get them one, maybe two wins, they'd still be right in that chase. But as of right now, they're talking about whether they even bring Aaron Rodgers back for the rest of the year or they just shut it down. You need a guy like that. That's why he'll definitely be on the team next year because, you know, whoever, let's say they do take a quarterback in the first round, that quarterback maybe goes down or struggles a little bit, and you are still in the hunt, you know, because this division doesn't look like it's the strongest division. You could easily be in the hunt next year. You need a guy to win you one or two games. Chad Henne, I think, is going to be the guy.
You still got to get some weapons for whoever it is, whether it be Chad or the rookie. Still, niggas, you can't go deep. You know, all these short passes, when you do try to go deep, there's no weapons to get that done.
Speaking of going deep, Cecil's got to lay out.
Yes.
He had that pass hit him in the hands, and he was just running. You know, he's falling. You lay out for that deep pass. Yeah. You got a 60-yard completion right there, and we're in business.
Like I said, you just don't have the deep threat. You don't have a guy like Gordon, like Johnson out there. Well, I'll take that.
So what are you
back.
Saying? Like number one guys that call for the ball, make diving catches is what you're saying?
Well, they do have a guy, but right now he's got some things he's got to get taken care of. You know, Blackman, hopefully if he comes back and he's in there, I mean, he makes a significant difference as if he's all together, got his mind right. Because one of the things is you figure he spent all this time out, his development as a wide receiver. It's almost like he's still going to be a rookie because he hasn't had enough time on the field to get better, you know, understanding
how to run
routes.
He looks like a beast.
He does. I mean, he has all the physical capabilities, but again, it's football. You know, football is a mental game because it's not going to be as simple as him just coming out and catching balls because they know his physical capabilities. So it's going to be different defenses being devised to stop him. Now, you know, by him not having an opportunity to play and see these different things, he's going to be starting all the way from square one again.
355 NFL 1-355-6351. Going to Daniel in Arlington. Daniel, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I just want to say, I know the Jaguars say they don't listen to the radio and don't listen to media, but if one of them are, I just want to let them know thank you for not giving up. Thank you to the Jaguar organization for not letting them give up. And I've been a Jaguar season ticket holder for a long time, man. It was real special tonight, and I really do appreciate it.
You know, that's the spirit from a lot of guys calling, and you could tell this fan base was desperate to see their team in person win a game, and win a game like that where, you know, they dominated early on, then it got close, and then to pull it out in the end and get the interception when, you know, you needed it, get stops when you needed it. Mm-hmm. It was a great win.
And, you know, too, you get the nation off your back. You know, you figure Jacksonville has been somewhat of the laughing stock around the league, you know, just because of the perception, because we haven't had an opportunity to get on TV and put out this type of performance, not just by the team, but by the crowd, you know, the loud, enthusiastic, to let everyone know that, you know, it's popping here in Jacksonville, you know, Duval, baby.
Everybody coming in town, got all the new guys, new flavor, new blood. Everybody's loving it. Sound like our last caller had a little bit of that Crown Royal maple as well. 355 NFL 1-355-6351. Taking a quick break back on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Buehler Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Buehler Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show. Finishing up today after a long, long night of Thursday Night Football. Great win, 27-20. And, you know, final thoughts. We were talking last week, and I brought up the point that maybe this could be one of those trap games where you sit there and you got a young team, they're playing really well, they got a short week, they're coming up against a team that's struggling, that they're playing, that they've already beaten once this year. You could see the guys maybe taking it easy this week, maybe saying, we got this in the bag, and not playing to their full potential. But the way they came out and dominated, Gus Bradley's got something going on with these guys, and he's talking to them and telling them the right way to play.
Gus Bradley team will not do that. They're not going to let up. They're going to come out. They're going to give you the same kind of football each and every week. The consistency, the nose to the ground, you know, and the full channel focus in on getting things done from week to week. You got to love what Coach Gus Bradley's doing. You got to be sold on his start. As a young, you know, he's got some work to do also. But right now with the team,
they're believing.
You gotta like what you see
exactly
taking place.
4-1 since the bye, 3-0, 3-1 in the division. And you know, that's why I said at the beginning of the show, keep saying it, you know, they're not a playoff team yet, but this is what playoff teams do. They come in November and December, and they win games. And they win games in the fourth quarter. They don't necessarily always blow teams out, but when you need a game-winning drive at the end, when you need an interception just to close the other team out, the only thing they got to work on is getting that running game going so it doesn't come down to that final drive.
Well, Mojo went out. I think if he would have been able to stay in that game, they'd have been able to clinch that deal.
We've had a couple games this year where we saw, you know, the Jaguars could clinch it out and just end it if they just had one nice, long, sustained
drive. Not since the bye week, baby.
No, since the bye week, too. I mean, these games that we won, they've been close at the end. That Tennessee game, it was closer than it should have been.
You know, the
Houston games were closer. These teams are still in it because the Jaguars aren't moving the ball at the end and getting first downs and killing the clock.
Yeah, that's the thing they got to do is not allow the backup quarterback to come in. I don't know if you can say shy, but the other quarterback to come in and start lighting, because Fitzpatrick came in. Yep. Very fortunate he didn't play the whole game. And then Schaub came in, you know, he did his usual deal, but he did force the issue and forcing the defense in the penalties. And, you know, the Texans really, they shot themselves in the foot. They gave up 100-some-odd yards in penalties, man. That was crazy.
DJ Swearinger, MVP for the Jags tonight. Thank you.
But overall, like I said, it was a good win for the Jaguars at home on a national scene. Showing the whole country how Jacksonville really gets down.
Yeah, Buffalo next week. Buffalo, another team. They're 4-8. Same record as the Jags, or, you know, same amount of wins as the Jags right now. Another team that you're going to be battling with for draft picks coming up. They're playing Tampa this week, which will be a tough game for them. That should be a fun game to watch, because those two teams, they can play really well and they can play really bad.
Yeah.
So I guess it just depends on what team you get to see. And Jacksonville, another home game. What do you think of that one? You think they got it in the bag? You think it's going to be a tough game?
It's going to be a tough game. I think that the Buffalo Bills have a lot of players on defense. You know, their quarterback is young, but he can play. They got playmaker. They got two good running backs. They have an outstanding wide receiver out there with Stevie Johnson. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game. They do have some players on that roster that will, you know, really challenge. Well, it's going to be a big challenge for the Jags.
You know, they remind me a lot of the teams the Jags have played, like Houston, who's deceptively good. They've got a great defense, great offense, but not a great record. You know, same thing with Arizona. When we played them, we weren't sure what kind of team they were going to be, but deceptively good. You look at this Buffalo team, they've beaten Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They only lost to Cincinnati in overtime. That's a division leader. They beat Baltimore, who's contender for the playoffs. They only lost to Kansas City by 10 points. You know, so they've played good teams tough.
And they've won and beat good teams, where the Jags, you know, record-wise, they haven't beat any good teams, you know, like you can say for the Buffalo Bills. But, hey, any given Sunday, any team, you can catch them on the chin. Next thing you know, you come out with the win.
Marco, go home and get some sleep.
Let's go. You try to get a quick wink.
Yeah, I got an early morning flight. I'm taking advantage of the mini bye week. So,
my man.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick nap for me and then hitting the plane tomorrow morning. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for everybody who stayed up late with us. If you want to follow Marco on Twitter,
MCD, MDC Live.
Okay, he doesn't even know.
Yeah, I guess this is too early in the morning.
Mine is jgray_WOKV. Follow us. Thanks for listening. Give us a call next week. Talk all things Jaguars after hopefully another win over the Buffalo Bills. Thanks for listening. See you later on Jaguars Radio.